Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As I said at the beginning of our worship this morning, we're going to be taking a look at some of the lesser known stories and people of the Bible for our sermon series this summer. If we attended Sunday school as children, we no doubt learned about Adam and Noah and Abraham too, about Moses and David and Daniel the Hebrew. But if our study of the Old Testament scriptures stopped when we got done with Sunday school, it's likely that we never heard about Tamar or Abigail or Naaman or David's mighty men. Now, if we've been students of the Bible throughout our adult years, we might very well know some or even all of these names and their stories. But because these are lesser known stories in the Bible than the ones that we typically hear throughout our Sunday school days, I've titled this series, The Greatest Stories Never Told. This is by no means an exhaustive list. I simply chose 8 stories from the scriptures that were sent to me by other pastors. I sent out a note to about 20 pastors. I said, tell me a favorite story of yours in the Old Testament that most people don't know. And I just compiled 8 of them, put them together for this series. We begin today by looking at a story of what I call the unnamed man of God from Judah in 1 Kings chapter 13, that which Alan read for us. To recap, in the years following the death of King Solomon, the children of Israel were split into 2 kingdoms. The northern kingdom, which was called Israel, and the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. And each of these kingdoms had their own king. In our story today, again, which we had read a few moments ago, Israel, that is the northern kingdom, is being reigned over by a man named Jeroboam. He was a bad king, and he reintroduced idolatry to the lives of the Israelites. He set up shrines and altars and idols at the northern and southern parts of Israel, of his kingdom, so that people could worship there, staying in his kingdom, instead of traveling into Judah to go to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And so the Lord sent an unnamed man of God from Judah to go to Jeroboam to speak against him and against his evil, idolatrous practices. After this man of God demonstrated the power of God by healing this man from the curse which had just been placed upon him by the shriveling of his hand, he was then invited by Jeroboam to come back with him to have dinner with him, to be his guest. But this man of God refused, since God had commanded him not to eat or to drink in the place that he had been sent by God. But again, as we read, on his way back to Judah, he was met by an old prophet who was living in Bethel. That's, again, part of the northern kingdom, who had heard how this man of God had gone to the king and had both cursed and healed him of his shriveled hand. And so this old prophet wanted to meet him. He went out and found him on the road, and he invited him to come back with him to eat and to drink with him at his home. But again, this man of God refused because he had been commanded by God not to do so. So I think here's where the story really gets interesting. So the old prophet lied to this man of God and told him that he had received a message from God via an angel that told him that he was supposed to come back and eat and drink with him. And so this man of God, thinking that this had been a message from God, returns with this old prophet and eats and drinks at his house. And then we read, while they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had brought him back. He cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah, "This is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of the Lord and have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You came back and ate bread and drank water in the place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers." When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him back saddled the donkey for him, and he went on his way. A lion met him on the road and killed him, and his body was thrown down the road, and both the donkey and the lion standing beside it. Unlike many of the great stories in the Bible, there was no hero of faith here. Jeroboam was an idolater. The old prophet was a liar. And the man of God from Judah disobeyed the word of the Lord. Now, granted, he was deceived. But I'm sorry to tell you, that is still no excuse for disobeying the Lord. Adam and Eve can tell you more about that in great detail. And to this point, St. Paul would write to the Christians in Galatia some 1,000 years later. But even if we, Paul meaning himself and the other apostles, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. God does not take kindly to disobedience. He expects his words to be obeyed and his commands to be followed. Not to do so results in punishment and or death. To which I said, Adam and Eve, and also this man from Judah, can attest. In fact, you could write a whole sermon series on the people in the scriptures who defied, disobeyed, lied to God, and the punishments that befell them afterwards. From Adam to Pharaoh to Moses to Jonah to Samson to the nation of Israel to Uzzah to Achan to Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament and on down the line. There is always a price to be paid for disobeying God. Just think about what happened to Lot's wife. Turned back to look at the cities being destroyed and was turned into a pillar of salt. The man of God in our story today paid for his disobedience with his life. And so too would we, were it not for Jesus. God's word states in Ezekiel 18, the soul who sins is the one who will die. And every single one of us falls into that category. We've all sinned against God, disobeyed him, broken his commandments. That's why David could write in Psalm 14, the Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. And if that's the case, which it is, who then can be saved? Now, Jesus answered that question to the disciples by saying this: with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And it was through the sacrificial blood of Jesus on the cross that God made the impossible possible. That God brings forgiveness and life to even those who have disobeyed God. If God held us liable for each and every one of our sins, I mean, who in the world could be saved? But with God, there is forgiveness. The punishment that was due to each of us for our disobedience was placed on Jesus. Or as Isaiah put it, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. God is serious about sin, and he is serious about his commands. Disobeying him is no small matter. In fact, to the contrary, it's a life and death matter. And the only reason that you and I don't feel God's wrath is because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. His sacrifice covers our sin, and his victory gives us victory. But without Jesus, our future and our life would look no different than that man from Judah. We would die. We would die for our defiance. Thanks be to God for his grace and his mercy shown to us because of Jesus. In his most holy name, amen.